was offered outside of the camp, and therefore Jesus Christ suffered outside the camp. And therefore we, along with the Hebrews, must go outside the camp. Sorry, I'm just trying to adjust my volume meter here. I'm on the road broadcasting to you from Coral Springs, Florida, which is just outside of Fort Lauderdale. And for those of you watching on the Zendercam, I'm broadcasting with sunglasses on because the sun is out and I'm celebrating it. I know it's not in this room, but I'm celebrating it nevertheless because it's such a rare occurrence, as you know, in Windber, Pennsylvania. Not that I ever complain about it. Well, I guess I do once in a while, but it shows up for duty here in South Florida. I'm at the home of Waylon and Regina Dabbs, so I would like to thank them for their hospitality and the provision of a bedroom for me and this office, which is now functioning as a studio. Waylon told me to tell everyone hello. He greets you, all the members of the Body of Christ, and even non-members of the Body of Christ, if any of those are listening. Waylon, as you know, gave a great talk on the topic of death. Go to studyshelf.com, go to videos, and go to the Faith North Carolina Conference held this past October, and you'll see Waylon. He's got an orange shirt there, which is so Florida, right? And he's got a blackboard as a backdrop, and that orange shirt looks so good. Check this out, see if I'm not telling you the truth. The orange shirt looks so good in front of that blackboard. You got to see it to believe it. I might have a different pair of shades on for you tomorrow if you're watching on the Zendercam. Going to try to mix it up a little bit. I'm going South Florida here. I got my t-shirt on, no heavy coat. So I'm definitely enjoying that. Now, so I hope the sound comes across okay here. You know, I don't have my technicians here, so I'm on my own, which is very scary. God alone is making this happen because I don't have it. Now, Hebrews 13. This is a parable, and it applies to us. It applies to the Hebrews. It applies to us. For the animals whose blood is carried into the holy places by the chief priests, concerning also of these, the bodies are burned up outside the camp. So they took the blood into the altar for the sacrifice, but the bodies from which they drew the blood had to be burned outside the camp because this was the sin offering and it had to go away from God's presence. I know all this sounds crazy. Why did God have to do this? It was an early lesson. God takes this incrementally. I'm telling you in my series on Romans that God starts his revelation for us by having us look at the stars and the heavens and see the glory of his creation. Then he calls one people in Genesis chapter 12, calls Abraham, and he starts to bring him closer to him. He's going to bring a people out from Abraham, which is Israel, and he's going to begin to unveil his heart, but he does it incrementally. So he institutes the sacrifice of animals, and many of you don't like it. I don't like it either because I like animals. I could not kill a goat. I'll never forget, I had to kill a rat. We put rat poison out. We had rats in our barn when I lived in Ohio, and we put rat poison out, which I detested it, but we had to do something. And my wife said, "You got to do something about these rats." And I didn't want to do anything about them. They deserve to live. They have families. Rats have kids. Sure they do. Rug rats. And so I discovered a rat one time, and it was sick, and it was out in the open, and it was struggling, and I'm going, oh my God, I gotta kill this thing. And I prayed to God that it would stop breathing, that the rat would stop breathing, or that I would stop breathing. I didn't care which. And it still breathed, and I knew I had to kill it. So I had this shovel. I said, I'm gonna have to break its neck. And I can't kill things. You gotta understand this about me. I take that back. I can kill flies, and that's it. Mosquitoes that land on me try to suck my blood. No, thank you. I like my blood. It belongs in my veins. Thank you very much. So I'll kill flies and mosquitoes. Other than that, forget it. Nothing with fur, for the love of God. I cannot kill anything with fur. So I had the shovel, and I'm holding the shovel up. If you can see this on the Zender cam, I'm holding the shovel up, and I'm ready to bring it down, just like Abraham's going to bring the knife down on his son Isaac, except in this case, it's Martin Zender and a rat. That's almost Abraham and Isaac. Close parallel here that I'm drawing for you. So I couldn't do it. I had like 5 or 6 missed starts, and I walked away and said, I can't do this. I can't do this. And finally, I just, this thing was suffering. It was making strange noises like, it. I couldn't stand that. So, all right, this is it. I got to do it. So I brought it down. It's like, I brought it down, and I kind of missed, and it was going like, I'm like a crazy man, like, die. I went from not being able to do it all to like rabidly just like, please get me out of here. So I can't stand the slaying of animals. I don't know how the priests did it. Well, God told them to do it. I don't like it. And you know what? God didn't like it. He says, I forget where, somewhere in Isaiah, is it 53? He did not delight in the blood of goats, sheep, and lambs. It was a picture. It was a type to see that how serious sin was. That's the whole purpose. Don't complain to me about it. I didn't come up with this. It's designed to show that sin is really bad, and it requires the life of an animal. It requires life. It requires something of value. Now look, this proves that the lambs and the goats were valuable to God, and the bulls, they were valuable to God, or else they wouldn't have been used. Remember, God did not like Cain's offering in the Garden of Eden. He brought him the first fruit. He raised some nice asparagus, cabbage, beets, carrots. No good. Did I say cabbage? Yeah. Peanuts, stuff to grow out of the ground. It was Abel's sacrifice. It was acceptable to God because Abel brought a firstling from his flock, and it was what God delighted in. Well, relatively. He delighted in it because it was an early picture of the heinousness of sin. You need to know what you're being saved from. It's really, really bad, sin is. And the value of the sacrifice. The badness of the sin requires a valuable sacrifice. And so these animals were valuable. And of course, this was the type, the antitype, that is, the fulfillment of the type was Jesus Christ. And how valuable was he? God's only begotten son. So in a sense, he's in the same category as bulls, goats, and sheep in that they were sacrifices. Something had to die. The animals were practiced. Now comes the real deal, Jesus Christ. So, blood is carried into the holy place, verse 11 of Hebrews 13, by the chief priest concerning sin, and the bodies are burned outside the camp. 13, wherefore, Jesus also, that he should be hallowing the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. There's the parallel. His body was burned, if you will, in a figure outside the gate because the sin offering was so despicable. And that really tells you something about how bad sin is, that even our Lord had to suffer outside the gate. And so it was arranged that the crucifixion take place outside the gate. This was another reason why the Jews couldn't have killed Christ, because they might have slain him within the temple area. I don't know, within the enclosure, the soric, the outer wall. The Romans, however, did their dirty work outside the walls. That was in accord with prophecy. Not only prophecy, it was also in accord with type. And the type is that the burnt offering, the sin offering, had to be burned outside the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he should be hallowing the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Now then, here's the practical application for the Hebrews, and I'm going to apply it to you. We may be coming out to him outside the camp carrying his reproach. The cross was full of reproach, obviously. And if you're going to be with Christ, you're going to suffer reproach. This is why I keep saying, if you're in a popular religion, something's wrong. You're in the wrong place. You're in the camp. In the camp. The camp is where all the action was. The camp was where all the acceptable people were. It was where the priests were, scribes, the Pharisees, the religious elite, the educated ones. They were inside the camp. Nothing good happens inside the camp. This is a picture. Can you see? It's a picture. Now, the fact that Jesus Christ suffered out there and that now the Hebrews are being called out there, this is important. It's important truth. I'm going to read on here. Now then, we may be coming out to him. Well, where is he? Outside the camp, carrying his reproach. So in a sense, he's still outside the camp. He's still outside the established center of religion, not only in Judaism, but Christianity. Not in Christianity, but it is Christianity. Christianity is today the new Judaism. It's the center of religious focus, religious ceremony. And anyone who wants to live devoutly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. And that persecution happens in the camp. And it drives you out the camp. You're tired of being persecuted? Get the hell out of the camp. But don't worry, God's, they're going to find new persecution outside the camp too. But we may be coming to him outside the camp, verse 13, carrying his reproach. For here we are not having a permanent city. Now, I repeat this because Paul repeats it, the writer of Hebrews. But we are seeking for the one which is impending. Through, remember, we talked about that, I think, in Hebrews 11. The heroes of faith didn't have a permanent city. They looked for a city that was impending. Through him, then, we may be offering up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of lips avowing his name. Now I'm going to read an excerpt from the Concordant Commentary. I got so many wires here. I am trying to weave my books in and out of these wires without disengaging any of them because my entire program falls apart if I did anything like that. The camp. This is A. Enoch in verse, what is that? 11 of Hebrews 13. This is his commentary on verse 11. The camp can refer to nothing else than the established ritual of Judaism. Imagine that. Paul is saying that in order to follow Christ, you need to escape, get out of the established order of Judaism. That's the camp. And all this was typified back in the animals. And we're crucified with Christ. And again, where was Christ crucified? Outside the camp. That's why I think this is a transadministrational truth. I'm carrying it over. I'm saying that it applies to us too. Because Romans 6 says we were crucified with Christ. Christ suffered reproach outside the camp. The camp wasn't good enough for him. Or he wasn't good enough for the camp. Yeah, he wasn't good enough. The camp is, that's where the official people are. You're not even good enough to die in the camp. That's what they told him. So out he went. They took the Savior of the world, dragged him outside the city gates because he wasn't worthy to die inside the city gates. And you know what? If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. The great sin offering suffered outside the city of Jerusalem, so it behooved his followers to forsake the city and the system of religion which cast him out and follow him outside of it all. Outside of it all. I love the way A. Enoch puts that. Jerusalem was not the permanent abode of God's saints. It was to be utterly destroyed. This was done not long after this epistle was written. The eye of faith looked forward to the heavenly Jerusalem on this earth, the heavenly Jerusalem that descends from heaven. So, A. Enoch's right. Not long after this epistle was written, the camp, the city of Jerusalem, the system of Judaism was destroyed by the armies of Titus, armies of Rome in 70 AD. And that was the end of the ritual. And so, really, the Hebrews were soon to have no other choice but to suffer the reproach outside the camp because there literally was not going to be a camp. The Romans were going to come and destroy it. Now, I want to make this quick point, then we're going to close for today. I want you to consider this truth that God is going to do to Christianity what the Romans did to Jerusalem in 70 AD. The entire religion is going to be destroyed, decimated by the 200 million cavalry that are coming out of the earth in Revelation that are going to destroy a third of humanity. This religion is going to be destroyed, taken from the earth. And so you need to leave now. Get out of it. Get out of Christianity, just as Paul was imploring the Hebrews to get out of the holy city. Get out of the camp. Your Savior was crucified outside the camp. We're crucified with him. We're not good enough for the camp, and we don't want to be there anyway. Suffer his reproach outside. We'll be right back.